This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Enron's almost over.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Closing arguments begin today in Houston in the Enron trial. That's after 3.5 months of testimony and more than 50 witnesses. Marketplace's Tess Viglin reports.
This is the last chance for prosecutors to paint a damaging portrait of Enron as a company rife with corruption, where Jeff Skilling and Ken Lay knew exactly what was going on. Former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz says the government did a good job avoiding some of the pitfalls of other corporate malfeasance cases.
This case was not about mind-numbing financial statements. They made this case about clear-cut criminality.
He says the defense will try to regain some of the momentum it had going into its case a few weeks ago.
Ken Lay's testimony fell somewhat flat, and I think we're going to see a closing argument that tries to refocus the jury on the fact that the government doesn't really have any smoking gun evidence.
The jury could get the case as early as Wednesday. On Thursday, Lay goes back to court for another trial on separate fraud charges involving $75 million in personal bank loans. I'm Tess Viglund for Marketplace.
Oil prices are making a lot of countries rethink their energy policy, and that includes drilling contracts with big oil. The head of Royal Dutch Shell tells the Financial Times that high energy is leading to more national thinking, and that means oil companies will have to agree with the new terms. Just a few weeks ago, Bolivia nationalized its natural gas industry. President Bush addresses the nation tonight about plans to overhaul immigration law. Also today, the Senate gets back to talking about its version of the bill. Debate was derailed last month after Republicans and Democrats hit a stalemate. So what now? Marketplace's John Dimsdale has more.
The president wants a guest worker program to allow undocumented aliens to legally work in the U.S. temporarily. The Senate bill gives the president what he wants, but goes further. It would provide millions of illegal immigrants who've been in the country more than 5 years the chance to earn citizenship. A group of conservative Republicans will introduce an amendment that would require all unauthorized immigrants to leave the U.S. before they can apply for temporary or permanent visas. Florida Republican Senator Mel Martinez, himself an immigrant from Cuba, says that would be impractical.
How do you carry it out? I mean, do you send people with trucks to round people up and run them to the border? I mean, 11, 12 million people? You know, I would say at the end of the day, trying to enforce that would be overwhelming.
Other amendments this week would beef up border patrols and force employers to check more carefully the documentation of the workers they hire. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Video killed the radio star, but will online music kill MTV? The network's trying to avoid that fate. Today it introduces its own internet music service called Urge. It teamed up with Microsoft on it. You'll either be able to buy songs for 99 cents a track, or you can rent all the music you'd like for 10 to 15 bucks a month. Wall Street starts the week a little beaten up after a rough week last week. The Dow lost 1.7%, 119 points Friday, to wind up at 11,380. The NASDAQ fell 4%, a quarter of it on Friday. The S&P 500 slid 2.6% for the week. This is Marketplace. If you've got a small fortune to invest, I may have a sure thing. Christie's is auctioning off a 300-year-old Stradivarius violin tomorrow. The price tag? Probably $2 million. Here's Alex Cohen.
Known as the hammer, the violin could be the most expensive instrument ever sold at auction. Sure, there's lots of other things you could spend $2 million on, but a rare violin may not be a bad choice. Supply of fine-stringed instruments is limited, and demand continues to grow. Florian Geithner of McCold Rare Violin says the price of historic violins has only gone in one direction.
In the history of the prices, they always went up, so in a way, it's almost the safest investment you can do.
What's more, Geithner says, investing in such instruments has the added value of helping to preserve culture. Of the 1,100 violins Stradivarius believed to have made, only about 620 survive today. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating women and women's health. Information and health resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The stock market's on a nasty two-day losing streak, but it's been pretty bullish lately. And it's not just stock prices. Gold, oil, metals, they're all going gangbusters. People ask me what I make of it. I say, I don't know. Let's ask Newsweek's Alan Sloan.
Hey, Scott.
So what else can I tell these people?
What you should be telling these people is that the world is getting to be a much more interesting place than it used to be. And they've got to watch it and be patient to figure out what's going on, because there's a lot of stuff happening here.
And what are those things?
Let's see. You've got not only the Dow Industrials knocking on their all-time high, but which is a misleading indicator because the Dow is a narrow stock index. You've got gold at multi-year highs. You've got interest rates long-term and short-term at multi-year highs. You've got commodities. You've got all sorts of stuff going on, some of which is pulling in different directions.
And what could that lead to?
If you just looked at the statistics we have, with inflation sort of creeping up, with commodities up, with gold up, with interest rates up. I forgot, the gross domestic product is up, corporate profits are up. In theory, you've got an inflationary boom. In reality, I'm not really sure, because anybody can see now that you're about to have problems with housing, which for a long time sort of boosted the economy, is now going to be neutral or a drag.
Well, that phrase, inflationary boom, is intriguing, because you've got boom, which sounds good, but inflationary doesn't sound so good.
But that's what we got. You know, I'm not even sure this is a boom, okay? Statistically, it's a boom. In my stomach, in my gut, it doesn't feel like a boom. And I remember the great inflation of the 70s. And this is not like that at all. I mean, that's when the consumer price index and all of these things were going up 10% a year, and interest rates were 15, 16, 18%. You often see inflationary booms because, you know, when stuff gets out of control and there's a demand for this or a demand for that, the price of it goes up. I mean, that's what a boom is. In terms, though, of jobs and employment, which in 2000 really was a boom, because if you could spell cat with the old joke of, you know, two T's instead of three, you know, you could walk out of school and get a job. That's not happening now. So the boom is in prices, but not really in jobs. It's very confusing. In terms of economics, I think I'm glad I don't have a degree in economics, because I would be attempting to impose some sort of worldview on this. And this time, I think I'd rather be a journalist and then write about it after the fact. That's going to be a lot easier than predicting it.
All right, Alan, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Scott.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek in Los Angeles. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
We all know how the dot-com boom ended.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.